In this episode of Almost Paradise in North Idaho, I want to let you know about something happening next week that could be a big opportunity for someone listening right now, or someone you know. A brand new school is opening here in Bonners Ferry this coming August, the North Idaho Classical Academy. It's supported and trained by Hillsdale College, and they're holding a job fair this Tuesday for a wide range of teaching and staff positions. Now, I won't spill all the details here, that's coming up later in the show, but I can tell you this, they're looking for people who care about students, about character, and about building something meaningful in our community. If you've ever felt called to education, or if you know someone with a heart for guiding young people, this might be the door that you've been waiting to walk through. So mark your calendar for Tuesday. A new chapter is opening in Bonners Ferry, and you or a friend might just be a part of it. Now stay tuned, because more on that is coming right now. Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Almost Paradise in North Idaho. And I got good news for everybody. I'm not solo this time. I actually have a nice guest on, and so it will be better, I'm sure. And we're about 30 miles from the Canadian border up here in North Idaho, and it's raining right now, probably about 40 degrees, 45 degrees. Oh, it's just wonderful if you're a duck. So anyway, I do have with me today Chris Wickwire, and she is the academic coordinator at our new, soon to open, North Idaho Classical Academy. Hello, Chris.
Hello, thank you for having me.
And we're up here, I love it up here because I love the addition of the academy because it's different. And we have so many educational opportunities up here. Public school, private schools, charter schools, home-based, homeschooled, all kinds of stuff up here in North Idaho. And this is going to be a new thing. And it's going to be exciting. So tell me a little bit about yourself, Chris, and we'll learn more about you as we get into this.
I have been in the area for about 5 years, and I had spent over 20 years in public education, primarily teaching fourth and sixth grade. I have my administrative credential as well, and spent a lot of time with curriculum and data and intervention opportunities for students, enrichment opportunities, so this was a really good fit.
Now, I used to be a teacher, as many of my listeners know, and I taught for about 20 years, high school, okay? Mostly American history, a little bit of journalism. I had to make a decision that do I stay in teaching or go into administration? And I had some people want me to go into administration, but I just couldn't see myself wearing a tie every day. And eventually I just decided I had enough of education teaching. And so I went in a different direction after 20 years. But you just still have the bug.
I actually thought I was finished with education also, especially after COVID. That was very challenging. But I got in touch with Dr. Frankham, and this opportunity presented itself. It's a different, the classical model of education is different than anything I've done, although I am a product of the classical education. This is just a little bit of a different take. And I thought it would be a terrific opportunity to bring my experience and knowledge into this and start, in addition to the fact that it's a startup and everything's brand new. That's very exciting.
Now, you mentioned Dr. Frankham. Who is he?
Dr. Frankham is our principal, our head of school, and he was the superintendent in Troy, Montana for several years. And he's been on this project for, gosh, maybe 3 years now, trying to get us up and running. He's done so much work, not only with helping secure our new property, but also just working with the community and partnering with the city of Bonners Ferry, Boundary County, Parks and Rec, our fair board. It's the public schools nearby. We have another trade school nearby that we'd love to partner with. So just really trying to make the area just a magnet for students for because there's so many different opportunities.
Now, you mentioned Dr. Frankham, and he was on a previous podcast of mine. He was actually, for those of you who want to do a little research and dig deeper, He was on episode 60. You'll find it and see all my podcasts are available. And he was very informative and interesting. And you're looking for job applicants, basically.
We are. We have a job fair coming up this Tuesday, November the 18th, from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Memorial Hall at the fairgrounds.
Right.
We're looking for an assistant head of school, K-7 teachers, special education director, three administrative assistants, maintenance and transportation director, a head cook, an assistant head cook, and classroom aides.
So you are hiring.
So lots of opportunities. We get to certify our own teachers. So as long as they have a bachelor's degree, we are associated with, we're a member school with Hillsdale College. So we all of our curriculum and teacher training through Hillsdale College. That's part of my role, is making sure teachers have what they need and are coached appropriately. So there doesn't have to be a ton of classroom experience. We can support that. Don't necessarily have to have an Idaho State teaching credential.
Now, we're going to be talking about the school, but first, I want to tell you, Dr. Frankham offered me a job.
He's really?
Did he tell you what it was?
He did not.
That's why I was asking. He thought I might, after the course of our podcast, he kind of looked at me, and I was worried by the look he had on his face, and he said, maybe you could be our school mascot. I go, really? I wasn't sure if that was a compliment or not, but then I asked you. See, I was leading you into something there before we turned on the microphones. Do you have a school mascot in mind? Because I don't know what he had in mind for me to be the school mascot.
I don't either. I have no idea. We do not yet have a mascot, so.
It probably isn't a Brainiac Einstein type thing. For me, if he had me in mind, it's probably some goofy bird, like Big Bird.
Eagles came up a couple of times.
Eagle?
Right on the...
Which is related to vultures.
Okay.
I'm all for the... Actually... The Eagles. They have a thing against the Philadelphia Eagles because I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and it didn't go well in the last Super Bowl.
No.
You may or may not know that, but apparently you do. So we won't talk about that anymore. And so once you find out what the mascot is, you need to let me know.
Okay.
Because I have a lot of listeners who would love to see me dressed up to whatever. And see what happens.
Maybe that's what he was feeling from you, so that's why he brought it up.
Yeah. It's all about the energy.
High energy is important to a school culture.
The Chiefs have a mascot. I don't know if you know this or not, but he's actually called KC Wolf. He's a wolf. He looks more like a mouse, actually. But he's a bull, whatever, and he runs around and he does stuff and he creates issues and he plays with the kids and drives an ATV all over the place and runs over the opposing players, tries to kill the quarterback before the game starts. Yeah, he does that. So I can do that.
I don't know if we'll need anything quite that aggressive, but the energy's there.
It could be curb my enthusiasm or something like that. So anyway, you have lived here in North Idaho for how many years?
Just five.
About five. So I ask this of all of my guests.
Okay.
So we're going to talk more about the Academy in a minute, guys. This is my podcast, and I can talk about whatever I want. Okay? Why would you say North Idaho is almost paradise?
I don't know if I agree with the almost part. I feel like it is paradise.
Okay. Defend that.
Well, we love the mountains. My husband and I, it's just my husband and I, and we love the mountains, the trees, the snow, the temperatures, how small it is, how friendly everybody is, how welcoming everybody has been. Just when we meet people, they always ask in our neighborhood. We've only been in our current property for about 4 months, and we already have neighbors who are willing to help and ask us for dinner and all of those things. My husband just nabbed his first deer, had his first hunt in Idaho, and our neighbor immediately said, "We'll bring it over and we'll process it together and
teach you how to do it."
He knows how to do it. But he doesn't have the facility. We don't have any kind of facility to do that. So our neighbor does.
Okay.
He was very accommodating, helpful, and we've never seen anything like it. It's just wonderful. And we hope to be that exact same type of neighbor to everyone around us.
Now, I have friends who tell me that they're not sure this almost paradise in North Idaho is a good thing because it might cause people in certain areas to move here and create other types of issues. So to prove I'm not a member of the Chamber of Commerce, I also ask this question.
Okay.
How is North Idaho not almost paradise?
Okay. Traffic can be a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
I think.
In what way?
It's a two-lane road, our highway through most of the town. I think there's one light up that's pretty new, two lights at 3 Mile. And then what the Sturgeon Center, it doesn't get as crowded in that area, but in the middle of town, it can be.
Especially when school is getting out.
That's right. And we just moved from a little house in town that we loved. But traffic was a challenge. Some of the semi-trucks and things, it gets pretty noisy also.
Now, you're building a brand new facility.
School. Yes.
School, yes. Yes, I'm shifting gears now. I don't always use the clutch when I shift gears. So it kind of grinds away. Okay, yeah, be quick. And you break ground on this new facility soon.
Very soon, yes.
Like next week, maybe?
With our fingers crossed, we are planning to close on the property next week. We shouldn't have any delays this close to it, but one never knows.
Okay.
But the idea is to get started right away. We purchased the property from Idaho Forest Group. And so there was a large planer building on site that was dismantled and it's gone now. But so we do have infrastructure. We do have the cement foundation, which is helpful because that takes quite a bit of time to construct. And so we can get started with framing pretty quickly. And the goal is to be done by August, so we can open the doors for students next year in the fall of 2026.
I think that's pretty ambitious, but doable.
Very ambitious. Yeah. Our partnering with Sandcraft is our contractor, and they have assured us that they're going to make it happen.
They can make it happen. Okay. So how did you find out about this job opening as an academic coordinator?
Actually, I saw that there was on Facebook, that there was going to be a new charter school opening in the area.
And you went to a charter school?
I went to a faith-based school.
Okay. Okay.
And so I thought that I might be interested in a teaching position. So I contacted Dr. Frankham and sent him all of my transcripts and credentials and things like that. And he said, I think with your experience and your professionalism that you would make a great literacy coordinator, which is my primary role is literacy, although now that's morphed into mathematics and some of the other things. I think with a school this size and an opening that we're all going to wear many hats. So the position continues to evolve, which is very exciting.
And when the school opens, it's going to be
K through seven.
And then every year, the plan is what?
The plan is to add another academic session. So for the following year, we would add an eighth grade and a ninth grade until we get to a complete K-12
charter school. That's a nice concept of just growing carefully, steadily, with good planning and so on.
It's a robust curriculum. And so we start students with Latin in sixth grade. So to bring somebody in who's an eighth or a ninth grader or a 10th grader into something that robust can be a challenge. So that's one of the main reasons we're just incrementally growing.
Yeah. And So an academic, and I know what Dr. Frankham had said before, but maybe you can refresh my memory and the listeners' memories. A classical academy, what does that really mean?
A classical education is the tried and true. So we go back to basics. We go back to what we know works in educating students. It is, as I said, a robust education. We focus on very structured literacy and math in the early years, and then provide opportunities for our upper grades with Latin and history and science. And we use trained true methodologies as well as content. We get, like I said, our curriculum comes from Hillsdale College, and they have refined and added to their curriculum every year. I was just there actually at Hillsdale last summer for our K-12 conference, and was able to meet lots of other educators from their member schools.
I'm familiar with Hillsdale College because I'm a faithful listener of Victor Davis Hanson. And he talks about Hillsdale College a lot. I've never been there. I've got a couple of friends that actually went there for some sort of a workshop or symposium or something. And I've just always been impressed with the idea behind Hillsdale College. So this is what our school is based on a lot, it sounds like. Yeah.
It is. So all of our curriculum and teacher training. So they will come out in I believe June, and have a 2-week session with all of our teachers, and there'll be some intensive teacher training. And then, of course, we'll provide professional development with some of just our site policies and responsibilities and that kind of thing. And then they'll come back throughout the year and check in with teachers and help coach and support whatever kind of supports that we need as we continue to grow. And that will happen quite often. They have a wonderful K-12 library on their website that has just an enormous amount of resources for teachers, whether it be a video on what a good instruction looks like for our new teachers, or lesson planning design, content resources like maps and images. It is just, it's endless. It's endless.
And they also have free online courses for people like me.
They do. I've taken a few of them. They're wonderful.
Yeah. I have not taken one, and I need to, because I think the topics are interesting. And like I said, it's free and you just learn a lot. Yeah. So I'm just going to correct me if I'm wrong. And I'm looking at a website here called American Classical School, which is Idaho-based. Okay. And our school is going to be based on that?
It will be, yes, it'll be a member school.
A member school.
Right. So the ACSI is our board. So they lead us and will provide resources and some guidance just on getting our school started, what things are supposed to look like. Yeah. So we have 4 schools in the network at this point. We have 2 in the Boise area, 1 going in Chuna, starting next year with us.
Now, the overall, I'm just going to read this from the website, okay? And it says, our mission is to train the minds and improve the hearts of students through a classical content-rich curriculum that emphasizes virtuous living, traditional learning, and civic responsibility. So, a little different from public schools, maybe? A little emphasis, a little different?
I think so, and that's something that I didn't mention when you asked me about what a classical school looks like. The improve the hearts piece is very important. Our character education is integrated through all of our academics, and it sustains our culture. So it's not just here's the trait of the week. We really try to integrate all of our values, whether it be self-government or service or perseverance, those things that are important for a well-rounded human being, being part of our society. So that's a huge part of the training that hurts.
And to dovetail with that, this website talks about the vision, and it's to form future citizens who uphold the ideals of our country's founding and promote the continuation of our American experiment through a classical great books curriculum designed to engage the student in the highest matters and the deepest questions of truth, justice, virtue, and beauty. And that kind of deep. So help me out with that.
One of the wonderful things that brought me to when I started to learn about this opportunity, this new charter, was the literature. So each year, students will be exposed to children's classical literature all the way up through 12th grade. And starting in 3rd grade, they begin to annotate in those. So there are deep discussions that, again, integrate some of the virtues, our character education that we use all of the time. They begin to annotate what we call a Socratic seminar. So there's a lot of questioning, a lot of deep thinking about character connection with the students, about how that translates into the world, what it means to the world, and essentially identifying their place in it. So they will have several books each year that they will do this with in an analysis and thoughtful process and questioning, and they'll be keeping these books. So by the time they graduate in 12th grade from the academy in 12th grade, they will have an entire library of classical literature.
I think it's amazing. I think it really dovetails well with what's going on with education up here in North Idaho in general. It's just really neat. What really can you say to a parent as to how might this really help an individual student that they have in living in their home? What's the real focus on that? Why should a parent come here instead of Bonners Ferry High School or middle school or grade school. Why?
I think for one thing, the great thing about the academy, it is another opportunity. It's another choice for families. So I think one of the greatest things about our classical education model is how information is presented and acquired. So we talk a lot about, I'm going to give like STEM, for example. So there's a lot of talk about STEM, science, technology, and math, engineering and math, and how those things are so important to providing a strong workforce and having critical thinking skills and all of those things. What's different about what we do in science is that we start with, in kindergarten, first and second grade, you start with biographies about great scientists from not just America, but from everywhere. So students have an idea of where the scientific world comes from, who's involved in it, and what their achievements were. Then as they move up into the grades, we'll obviously have a science lab and things like this. But it goes deeper than just having a hands-on opportunity to play around with science. This is a deeper understanding. We question. There'll be ethics questions and things like that. Students will have to ponder about how science is integrated into our society and what the implications and all of those things, not just let's put vinegar and baking soda together and create carbon dioxide. It just goes deeper than that.
So it's not just really a textbook. It's a lot of hands-on.
Yes.
A lot of discussion.
Yes. A lot of analysis.
Analysis.
A lot of the people behind it. I think that's a really important piece.
How is enrollment looking?
I don't have any numbers. We just open enrollment November 1st, and it's ongoing until March. I think the end of March. Don't quote me on that, but I'm sure for sure March. The idea is that we will have 30 students per grade level. So one full class at 30, except for kindergarten first, which will be two sections of 15. Or sections, excuse me. And if we have a full class of, say, the second graders, a full 30, then everybody that is enrolled will be invited to attend. If we have students, or it will be more than 30 students, then we will have to create a lottery system. And then those students that are chosen via the lottery will be
admitted. So let's talk a little bit about the typical day, or what the students are going to run into once they're there. And or maybe even before that. First, they got to enroll and they got to get accepted into the school. Okay?
Correct.
So how does a parent enroll their students?
We did have to push our opening back a year because we had some facility challenges. We had a lot of interest that spans a good year and a half, almost 2 years now. And a lot of parents have filled out a letter of interest if you go to the website, it's nickk12.org. You can fill out a letter of interest, but that is not the same as enrollment. So it's very important that parents know that if you're interested in enrolling your student for the 2026-27 school year, that you go back onto the website and actually fill out an enrollment form.
Okay. And guys, this is one of the advantages of the podcast is you can rewind the podcast, get that website, write it down. Okay. So that's really nice about it. This is why it's better than a radio show. It's hard to do so with a radio show. So that's what's the good thing about podcasts.
Just Google North Idaho Classical Academy.
It'll come up. Exactly. You don't have to have the actual address. You're right. So what do you think? Oh, I know something we get sensitive, but how should parents up here, who many of them are very conservative, how should they respond to the word liberal? Liberal arts, liberal education. What's that mean?
Liberal doesn't mean in a political sense. It has more to do with the vast well-roundedness of our curriculum. So when we talk about the literature, for example, or some of our Latin and history, world history, things like that. It's exposing students to multiple disciplines, multiple great thinkers, all of those things to make a citizen well-rounded. So when we talk about liberal studies or liberal arts, it doesn't reflect the in the political sense.
Okay. And related to this, why do you even teach classical literature? How's that going to help somebody learn to weld if they want to be a welder or woodworker or whatever? What's the deal with classical literature?
Classical literature affords many opportunities. One, here it expands one's vocabulary. It helps us integrate our character education, which, again, going back to the mission to train the minds and improve the hearts of our students. And also, with most classical literature, you have the ability to make personal connections, the ability to recognize and integrate all of our virtues that we're supporting with our students every day. It also lends itself to more dynamic conversations, to literary devices, the way that the author's purpose. There's just some more rich conversations that can take place when classical literature is taught, because it's challenging. Some of the language that's used in classical literature, we don't use anymore, but it's all important. It's all a part of our history.
Now, one of the things you focus on your website here, I'm looking at the most common questions asked on the website that you guys can go and look at and think about. But this kind of ties in with the value of moral virtue, and you guys really focus on that a lot.
We do. I think it's evidence by kind of some of the struggles we have as a society right now, is the ability to have conversations, to analyze ideas, to have open debate, to analyze and synthesize things in our history and in literature and in mathematics, for that matter. So,
yeah, just be open to the conversation.
Absolutely.
And then be able to articulate and study it and analyze it.
Yeah, and think critically about it before you make any kind of decision. And I think that with this classical model, that's so at the forefront.
And speaking of that, you got mentioned here a student honor code.
So we will have very high expectations for not only the behavior of our students, but their commitment to learning and the commitment to the character education. So the honor code is laid out in our student handbook, and there are expectations of how students will comport themselves. And that includes school uniform, that includes the high expectations with their daily work, how they treat one another, how they treat the adults on campus, and so on and so forth. So yes, that's a very important part of our culture. So students will start the day separated. The younger students will be in one kind of area of the school, and the upper students may be in a different part of the school. And one of our school leaders will be reading from, just for the first, 10, 15 minutes, will be reading from a piece of classical literature that emphasizes something, one of our virtues, or has some sort of special moral lesson that can be discussed. So that's how students will start the day.
And so you're looking at the mind, you're looking at the body, you're looking at the spirit, which one thing, you're not going to have computers.
No. We do not have technology, other than we are a state-funded, public charter, tuition-free. We are not faith-based. So we do have to have some technology in order to satisfy testing requirements by the state. But otherwise, students will not be exposed to a Chromebook all day. Or teachers will have some technology in terms of their instructional tools. But students will not be...
So it's a little bit low-tech.
It's very low-tech.
Okay. It's actually old school.
Right, there will be no phones.
Old school.
It's not simple. So no phones, no iPads, none of this technology. They didn't feel like they get enough of that at home and after school. So we want to focus on being a great thinker and being a great citizen.
Speaking of old school, we're talking about writing, arithmetic.
Reading,
writing, arithmetic. That's it. Right, that's right. So I'm so old, I lock up a lot. There you go. So that's the emphasis.
It is the emphasis. And we begin, our literacy program is highly structured, and it is phonics-based, it's an Orton-based, which we begin with phonograms, which are the symbols that make sounds. Those sound symbols then create written words. Those written words then create sentences and so forth. So we're actually learning how to spell, which is going to help us learn how to read. And that's very structured. It's about, in kindergarten, they start with 9 sessions a day of about 10 to 15 minutes, and they just simply learn. We don't necessarily teach the ABCs. We teach the symbol and the sound associated with that symbol.
Okay.
With arithmetic, we do, or with math, we have the Singapore math program. And that is, it begins with the concrete and then goes to it pictorial, and then moves into the abstract or the algorithm. So that has been a research-based program that actually did start in Singapore and has been very successful. So we use the Singapore math. And then for writing, we don't do any keyboarding or any kind of dot word processing. Everything is written, handwritten, and we start cursive at the end of second grade.
Oh, you're students teaching cursive?
Yes, students will also learn cursive.
Isn't there a little bit of a controversy with that?
Yes, there is, and there's pros and cons to both. But
I say that jokingly.
Our emphasis is on classical literature, classical documents, and if you don't know how to write cursive, you can't read it.
There you go.
So some of our most important documents are in cursive.
I like it. It's old school. And now another thing I like, as a former social studies history teacher myself, is about civics. Mm. Now, what's civics all about?
Civics is how we base our civilization. Yes, and that's based on U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the Federalist Papers and all of those things that are the foundation of what we deem to be the best country of all.
And as a result, you do the Pledge of Allegiance every day?
Every single day.
Yeah. So
we also recite our school mission.
Ah.
And there's actually quite a bit of memorization in our curriculum, that students will recite poems.
Well, maybe I don't want to go to your school. No, I'm not good at that.
And there's research. There's brain research to show that how important
that's probably what happened to me right there. That says a lot. We talked a little bit about what they can expect. I don't know if there's anything new about the typical day dress code.
Oh, dress code. Yes, we do have uniforms. I'm actually working with somebody local. We're excited to maybe work with somebody local here in Bonners Ferry to supply our uniforms with logos and some of our spirit wear and our PE clothing and that kind of a thing. But yep, girls and boys will wear uniforms. And at the end of each week, we will have kind of a dress up day where students will dress up with, and boys will wear ties and ladies will have a little bit of an elevated uniform. But we're really looking forward to that. I think that is all part of our mission, which is just, we come to school to do serious business.
So if I do become the school mascot, the uniform will be provided for me, maybe.
Perhaps.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Uniforms are going to be a cost of families.
Okay.
Uniforms. But we are, like I said, we are working with a local vendor to make sure that's
for
families.
So if somebody is thinking about applying for a job, again, they need to come on Tuesday, November the 18th from 2 to 5.
And then directly after, we will have a family information session from 5 to 6, just an open house. And the job fair isn't structured either. If you have some interest, come on by and you can chat about the different positions and what's required and find out more about the school and meet Dr.
Right. And one thing we haven't mentioned yet, or maybe I just missed it, but what does it cost to go to the school?
Oh, there is no cost. It's tuition-free charter. It's funded by the state of Idaho.
It's just free?
It's free.
Can you spell that?
F-R-E-E.
Really? There you go, people. You got to lose. That's pretty nice. And they buy textbook material? No. Just a uniform.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe a few school supplies.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't have a problem with students wearing uniforms. I think it eliminates a lot of competition, a lot of class envy or individual envy issues. Not so important maybe at the grade school level, but as you get into middle school and then on into high school, but really middle school, the worst years of my life were middle school. That's just me. And we weren't the richest. We were actually on a set income and kind of poor. I didn't always wear the latest style clothing. Mm. And it's not that I got hand-me-downs because I was the only child.
Mm.
But yeah, I had to wear jeans that were rolled up. And so I could grow and slowly unroll the legs.
Good idea.
But yeah, I didn't think so at the time. Anyway, so this is a good idea. You don't get picked on because you're not wearing the latest fashion.
But it also, I think, the uniforms provide a standard of dress that promotes success.
And you're dressed for success.
That's correct. And so when you come in and you're dressed for success and we have a culture of positivity and high expectation and high achievement, then students typically rise to that challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. So go to the job fair, guys. Check it out. They're very qualified. It's amazing the quality of knowledge and background that lives up here in North Idaho. And it's just very rich. I would be tempted if I wasn't doing the podcast. I'm busy as it is.
Well, leave yourself open to being a guest speaker.
Oh, there you go. I could teach it. I could have a podcast club at your school and they could do a podcast. Yeah. Uh-oh.
Now you've come in and thought you can learn. You heard it first.
Only if I get the job as a mascot. Just put the microphone right into the air and there you go. Mm-hmm. I was actually a mascot. Yes. I was in junior college. I was a Yale leader.
Oh.
Which was like a male version of a cheerleader.
My father was also.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Back in the day, I didn't get to wear skirts back then.
No.
But I was a Yale leader and we were the Panthers. The Neosho County Community Junior College Panthers, and I was a Yale leader. And then at Junction City High School, where I taught, we were the Blue Jay. And there were a few of the pep rallies where I dressed up as the Blue Jay. Yes.
No wonder, Dr. Frank.
Yeah, he could just tell.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's from Britain.
Yeah. So, in fact, yeah, it's just a great thing. If I don't win the competition, if I don't qualify for the job application process, whoever gets it, I'll help them. You know what? I want Sasquatch. That'd be a great mascot for the North Idaho class. Sasquatch probably has a lot to say. And he probably knows more than you're giving credit for.
Maybe.
I mentioned Sasquatch quite a bit on this show.
Do you?
Yeah, oh yeah. No. You could be the wolves.
Are you a believer?
I'm not a disbeliever.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, I haven't seen one, but maybe.
Sometimes.
Every once in a while, there's a weird noise that comes out of those woods back there.
I don't know.
How about you?
I think I know enough about it to have an opinion at this point.
There's a podcast I've listened to called Blurry Creatures. I highly recommend it, Blurry Creatures. And it delves into, it's believe it or not, it's actually a Christian-based podcast. But they talk about mysteries in the Bible, and they talk about Sasquatch, which isn't mentioned in the Bible, but what might Sasquatch be or not be in relationship to the good and the evil forces dwell in another realm, if you get my drift. And that's a little bit far out there, but they get into other stuff, so I'm going to get canceled if I say too much. So anyway, you got anything else to add that you really wanted to cover that I have not touched on?
I don't think so. We are really excited to be moving forward with our facility. We think it's a great location, and we're excited to partner with the community and looking forward to opening in 2026.
Will you be in the classroom teaching?
That's not my role. If I needed to, I certainly will. My role is to support teachers with instructional materials or instructional coaching, in addition to providing intervention opportunities for students who may need it and enrichment. Testing coordinator. I'm wearing many hats. Just making sure that everybody has what they need to make our fees.
We often wear many hats when we're involved in education. I was a special education teacher for 3 years.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have told you that. No.
Dr. Brandon will fall here on this honesty here.
And I was a mascot. Now, there's two extremes right there. And the AP American History teacher and this and that. And it was a lot of fun. And I did coaching on the side and so on. But there's just always a wide variety and many hats available to wear.
Which makes the job so great, because you get to make a difference in the life of children. I've had over 600 students. You up too. You taught 20 years.
Yeah.
That's an amazing thing to think about, that 600 people have gotten moved through my classroom. Yeah. That's something else. But also, you get to share your interests and your passions.
Right.
Inside and outside the classroom. That's a pretty great place to be.
Now, me doing many things and wearing many different hats, that doesn't necessarily mean I was multi-talented. It may have been that they couldn't find anything I was good at. And they kept moving me. Let's try them over here and let's try them over there. So I don't know.
No, I bet you were.
A word to Nirvana. So anyway, I'm so thankful you came by and shared this information. Now, contact information for you or the school?
The school, you can go to the website. I believe Dr. Frankham's email is there if you have any specific questions. Otherwise, we'd love to see everybody on Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
Who's interested in
learning a week from Tuesday.
This coming Tuesday, the 18th.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Today is actually the 13th.
That's right.
That's right. Yes. Okay. There you go. I got to get this out quickly. That's right.
And so, if parents are interested from 5 to 6, we'd love to talk to you and tell you more about our school. They'll have some pieces of curriculum there for you to see and some flyers and different things. And check out the website. There's some information there as well.
Fantastic. Okay. Chris Wickwire.
That's it.
Yes. I struggled with that name for some reason. Anyway, we got it right at the end. And if you want to get in contact with me, my podcast, or actually my email, is NorthIdahoPodcast@gmail.com. And I shared some of my emails with you in the last episode. So bring them on. Ask whatever questions you got of me. If you lose everything and you want to talk to Chris about something, you can contact me and I'll direct her to contact you if necessary. Whatever. We're a conduit of information here. All right. So, thanks again.
Thank you, sir.
And we're going to wrap this up, whether you guys like it or not. And we'll see you again. Oh, I have my next podcast after this. You guys are going to really like this. It's a married couple who just got back from Israel.
Wow.
And we're going to talk about them. They were on about 3 weeks ago getting ready for the trip and talking about it. Now they're going to be talking about what they experienced. And I can tell you, they tell me it was a life-changing experience. Got a lot to share. I hope you look forward to that and tune in accordingly. So we'll see you all again in the near future. Okay? Bye-bye, everyone. Oh, and don't forget to hang on for my little reflection here in a few minutes, or in a few seconds. As we wrap up today, I want to take a moment to reflect on something bigger than job openings or a new building going up across town. What we're really talking about is education, the shaping of minds, hearts, and citizens. And that's something that matters deeply in any community, but maybe especially in places like Bonner's Ferry, where we still value knowing our neighbors, respecting our elders, and raising kids who understand both freedom and responsibility. The North Idaho Classical Academy brings something unique to the table. It's not a Christian school in the formal sense. There's no chapel bell and there's no morning devotionals. But it is a school rooted in the same principles that helped shape our nation's founding. Principles of virtue, self-government, self-discipline, and respect for truth. That classical approach, which is guided by Hillsdale College, doesn't just teach students what to think, but helps them learn how to think. Logically, clearly, and with a sense of moral responsibility. In today's world of quick answers and quicker tempers, that kind of education feels less like an alternative and more like a gift. Classical education leans into the old, not because the old is perfect, but because the old has been tested. It's literature that has stood the test of centuries. It's history taught not as a list of dates, but as a story with lessons. It's math and science and logic and language, the disciplines that build strong minds. And woven through it all is character, the expectation that students grow not just in knowledge, but in virtue. Scripture puts a high value on that kind of growth. Proverbs 22:6 says to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. That verse isn't just about Bible teaching. It's about shaping habits, direction, and purpose. Classical education leans right into that, helping students develop the mental and moral muscles they need for adulthood. Character and citizenship are part of this model too. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:8, Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, think about such things. You won't find a better summary of classical learning than that. Asking young people to think on the higher things, not the shallow ones, to aim for excellence, not ease, now that is a goal. And let's be honest, discipline doesn't come naturally. Hebrews 12:11 says that no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. Education rooted in rigor and personal responsibility is not the easy road, but it is the fruitful one. And finally, Proverbs 1:7 reminds us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Even in a school that doesn't preach scripture, the pursuit of truth, goodness, and beauty echoes back to the source of all three. A community that nurtures those values, whether through home life, church life, or classroom life, is a community that stays strong. As for Bonner's Ferry, the town will be welcoming this new academy. We're not just adding another option. We're broadening the table. We're saying to parents, you have choices. And we're saying to students, we believe you're capable of greatness. And we're saying to our town, we still believe in raising young men and women who carry both wisdom and virtue out into the world. And in a world that's hurting, for grounded, thoughtful, disciplined citizens, that might just be one of the best investments we can make. Goodbye, everybody, and we'll see you again real soon.